Okay, well let's jump in. I'm gonna try not to cover as much tonight that we did last time, so that we have more time to talk and discuss and kind of, you know, walk through the text together. But we do have a little bit to look at. But it's good stuff. Let's just start off. Are there any questions from last week? I mean, we went through a lot of stuff. So any questions, thoughts, comments, things that stuck with you?
I thought it was extraordinarily interesting. And I'd not known before that Cyrus was prophesied 200 years earlier, so I found that fascinating, because I wondered why he was so good to let them go back, or just encouraged them to go back, and it all made sense.
Yes, ma'am. It's fascinating. It really is. Yes, ma'am.
Are you, you may touch on it at some point, but I heard that Babylon is currently Iraq.
That's correct.
And Persia is currently Iran.
That's correct.
So, historically, those countries became modern-day foes, as they've always been.
Right, and they are now.
Yeah.
They are now. Terribly so. But you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Which really brings to mind Afghanistan. Y'all know what's going on there. And as we open up, I might want to, just as we could as a group, maybe just pray for them. There are Christians in Afghanistan who are in trouble. So let's pray for them real quick as we get started. When I jump in. But any other thoughts, questions? That's it?
I guess there was one thing that kind of clicked for me. You know how sometimes clicks?
Yes.
Clicks, I know that.
I do.
The Jews as God's people were there to reflect his goodness and to demonstrate how things work in God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when they disobey, it makes sense that they're punished for that. But I think something that you said just clicked along with that it was also to show the neighboring people, when you disobey God's word, he is just. He does not simply give his own people a free pass to act however they want, but there is justice. So that also was something to show all of the nations, who he is.
Right. Yes. That's a big one in the Minor Prophets.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Very true. He's just, but he's full of mercy.
Yeah.
But he's just. Well, that's good. Well, let's jump in. Let me say a quick word of prayer as we get started. Get my mind set, and we'll get going. Blessed Father, I thank you so much for this time and for this great group. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be with us, that there would be good fellowship, and that you would teach us all through your word tonight. I pray especially, Lord, for those people in Afghanistan, who are full of fear, who are facing many dangers. I pray, Lord God, that you would send your blessed angels to them. You would guard them. You would keep them. For those who are a part of the church there, who are in great danger, I pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen their spirits, that you would give them strong testimonies to those who would oppose them. And Lord God, if it's your will, I pray, Lord, that you would bring them to safety and to freedom. And I pray, Lord, in all things your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, we're going to get into Haggai proper tonight. So, finally going to look at Haggai. But a couple of things that I wanted to make sure that we went through so much last week. I want to make sure that we're on the right track. What I didn't mention was Haggai's name, what his name means. We talked about how to pronounce his name, but his name actually means festival. So celebration or festival. And so maybe he was born at the time of a big festival or something, but his parents thought that they would name him Festival. So that's his name. I think it might be worth it. We're going to revisit some of these guys. So let's do this just real quickly. But if you remember some of the names from last week, because especially there's two of them especially that we're going to look at this week and next week for sure. But just real quick, let's just do this real quick. A handful of the names. Of course, we've got our main guy. Hello. We've got Haggai, who's going to be our main prophet, right? And he's teamed up with another prophet. They're prophesying at the same time. Zechariah. My handwriting is terrible. I apologize. So I'll read what I write because you can't read it. All right. Haggai, Zechariah. There are two other people who are mentioned repeatedly in Ezra, in Haggai, and in Zechariah. The first one is going to be the governor who was appointed by the king to sort of make sure everything was done according to plan. And his name was Zerubbabel. Am I spelling this right? I think that's right. Zerubbabel. There's two B's somewhere. It's either that one or that one.
B-B-A-B.
B-B.
A-B.
There you go. B-B-A-B-E-L. Zerubbabel. And then there's going to be Joshua. And he's going to be the high priest. The high priest. Yeah, Jeshua, depending on your translation, or Joshua. And we're going to look at him a little bit more next week. But these are kind of our four main people that we're going to keep revisiting. There's a couple of names in there that if you're feeling led to go through Ezra and look at how Ezra connects, there's a guy mentioned in chapter 1 of Ezra called Sheshbazzar, okay? And that would be a Persian name. I think it's a Persian name. But he is someone who kind of worked with Zerubbabel. We don't really know who he is. In Jewish tradition, they linked Sheshbazzar with Zerubbabel, but scholarship now kind of says it's probably not the case. He may have come before Zerubbabel, so he's called the prince of the people, and Zerubbabel is also uses that term as well, but he's going to be the governor, and he's going to be the high priest. Okay. Just so if you're going through reading it, who's this guy? Just so you know, they're probably two different people, and Zerubbabel maybe succeeded Sheshbazzar. Okay? So there you go. Just in case you're reading it, I want you to get kind of thrown off. Fascinatingly, there is archaeological evidence of the exile of Jewish people being in the area there. In Babylon and in that area, that they have uncovered, there are financial records, financial documents of transactions that happened for a well-to-do Jewish family who did business in that area. They've uncovered that. It was written on clay. And so that's really neat to see the Bible corroborated. And historically, they tie it together. So that's pretty neat. And then also, I don't know how big a deal this is to you, but this is going to be the timeline that we're looking at here. And these are going to be the kings that are mentioned all the way through Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah. So we're looking at a very busy period, right? And so real quickly, if I could go through this timeline, and then there's going to be some significant events that we'll try and get to. But 539 is going to be the fall of Babylon. So before this time, there were skirmishes all over the ancient Near East. So Cyrus was the man, and he didn't lose. And so he was kind of running the Babylonian armies all over the place. And eventually was able to take Babylon with relative ease. So Cyrus is going to be our main guy. You'll see him in Daniel. You'll see him in all these other books that we're looking at. He lasted a good while, and of course he's the one who initiated the return. We looked at that already. After that, he died. Actually, he was killed fighting in the northern part of his domain, so he died in battle. There was a big skirmish, but who's going to take over? His son, Cambyses, took over and was able to further the kingdom by taking Egypt. So he conquered Egypt. So that's Cambyses. Oddly enough, on the way back from Egypt to return, he may have committed suicide, or he died mysteriously. We don't know. But we don't know. So he didn't last too very long. Then, of course, there's another big dust-up. Who's going to rule? And there was a guy who was in charge for a little bit until Darius, who was a military man, showed up and settled things pretty well. So he was... Darius just means king. So whether it's a name or a title, I don't know, but Darius just means king. Okay? Darius, and then you've heard of Xerxes. So Esther is going to be right around here. So Xerxes had some military campaigns that didn't go so well, and he returned to Persia and did some building campaigns and married Esther at that time. So that's going to be her story. And then Artaxerxes is mentioned in Ezra. So you'll see him as you keep reading in Ezra. But he shows up later, and this is a significant time because this is when Ezra and Nehemiah show up. So Nehemiah is going to be after this. Okay? So that's a general timeline. There are some kings, Persian kings, after this for a good while. Of course, we're looking at the Greeks. Not too long after this, 100 years or so. So anyway, there you go, Persian Empire. So we're going to be right here at the beginning of it with what we're going to look at tonight. Okay, so, hey, there he is. So let's just pick up in Haggai. You remember what happened last week, right? It got difficult. God called his people back to do something significant, rebuild the temple. It was difficult. It was opposed by everybody. And so they said what? Now's not the time. When it gets easier, we'll do it. There's obviously something that's not right. We'll wait until things fall into place. And then, you know, they had a lot of... thinking that was just very practical, probably. But God had other things on his mind, all right? So before we think that God is not sensitive to the experience of his people, just hang on. Let's keep reading, okay? So here we go. Haggai, chapter 1. Is everybody there? Wow, it's raining. All right. Haggai chapter 1. Haggai shows up to all these people who are building their houses and leaving God's house. And he says this, in the second year of Darius the king, here we are, right? Second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month. So this is going to be August. So hey, guess what? It's August. Sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel. There you go, the governor. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua. Right? Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. I know how that feels. So, things aren't working out, right? So somebody read for me verse 4 again. Grab verse 4 and just read it.
It is time for you yourself to dwell in the penthouse while this house lay desolate.
There you go. That's the question. That's the question. Okay? So, let's keep going. Haggai's not done with this one. Verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts. And then you have it a second time, right? Do you have something different? I have consider your ways. Do you have take it to heart? Anybody have that?
Give careful thought.
Great. Literally, I think it's take it to heart. If you're going to look at it word for word. Take it into your heart. Think about it. That's right. Careful thought. Consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. And here it is again. What's the reason? Somebody read it for me. There you go. Same thing. All right, we'll look at this in a second. Keep going. Therefore, because of that, there's a therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, and the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. Okay, this is interesting. So two times God says that there is a reason why things aren't working out. Is it a time for you yourself to dwell in paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Okay, there it is. That's what Haggai is addressing. So, it is a big enough deal for God to interrupt their personal lives. He messes with their businesses. He messes with their farms. He messes with their money. He messes with their experience. He messes with their relationships. There are things going on that are just difficult, difficult, difficult. He has to get their attention. He has to get their attention. So I'm thinking, that's weird, because it seemed like everybody was really on board when they came back and all that kind of stuff. There's about a 20-year period from when they started to when it was really, really difficult and they quit and they just did nothing for about 20 years. So Haggai shows up about 20 years later. Here's the question I have. What's the big deal? What's the big deal with building the temple? They had sacrifices. They had an altar. They're doing that. What's the big deal? Why would God... Go ahead, talk to me.
The temple's where God met with them, right? It's the only place where they could truly understand that they were in His presence.
Mm. Presence. That's a big word. Yep. Yep. I mean, you may be tempted to ask, God, are you jealous because my house is nicer than yours? You know what I mean? It's like, what's going on? What's really getting God angry? And I think you're hitting on it there. I think you're hitting on it there. And there's something that I want to look at real quick. This is in here. The idea of temple, the idea of God's house. Okay? We as Christians don't really think this way, really, because the Spirit of God dwells within us, right? The temple of the Spirit is here. We don't think of necessarily the same way. We're going to go meet God at a building. We don't think that way anymore because of the work of Jesus the Messiah. The Spirit dwells within us, right? We are the church, correct? So that's the work of Christ. But before this time, looking forward to Jesus, there's something very special about the house. Let me read something real quick. Haggai refers to the temple, as the house of God. Thomas McComiskey, who's a great scholar, sheds light on the historical and theological context of house in this way. The house was the outward form of the real presence of the Lord among His people. I'll say it again. The house of God was the outward form of the real presence of the Lord among His people. That's what it meant. Okay? Hold on to that. Listen to this. To refuse to build the house was at best saying that it did not matter whether the Lord was present with them. There's one. Two. At worst, it was presuming on the divine grace of the Lord, that the divine grace of the Lord would live with His people even though they willfully refused to fulfill the condition of His indwelling that He had laid down. One, it doesn't really matter that you're with us or not. We're doing okay. Two, you're God, you're going to bless us anyway. Hey, you're God, you're going to bless us anyway, whether we do your will or not. We're just going to presume on you. So those two ideas, probably not what God's looking for, right, in His people. 20 years of focusing on building my own house has led me away, in this sense, has led me away from the importance of God being with us. I'm not so much thinking about that anymore. Thanks God for bringing us out of exile and back here, but I'm back here and we're going to do all right. I'll get to you when I get to you. Wow. Wow. You see why God might be a little angry, a little ticked. Two, what does McComiskey say? You're going to bless us anyway. You're God. We don't need to do your will necessarily, except when it's convenient, when it's easy, when it's profitable, when it's beneficial, then we'll do it. Then we'll do it. And we'll celebrate. But you're going to bless us anyway. So. Wow, that's an attitude. Is that an attitude problem? Talk to me. What do you...
When you said presume, it's just like, there's one verse that's just kind of like,
Mm.
There you go.
Powerful. Yeah. It's very true. It's very true. Let's pick up on those thoughts there. Okay. Does it matter that God is with you or not? Does it matter? All right, let's pick up on that thing. So he kind of lays the ball in their court. Interesting. If you want to know why things aren't doing so well, and when you brought it home, I blew it away. God says, hey, that's all me. And it's God saying, I need to get your attention. I need to get your attention. So there's God getting our attention right there. And so there are times when God needs to interrupt our lives, right? There are times when he just needs to do it. There are times when we are just so self-focused. And sometimes the only thing that's going to really get to us is when something doesn't go our way. And if it doesn't go our way repeatedly, maybe we'll start asking God some questions. Sometimes it happens. Something like that is happening here. So he leaves the ball in their court. So what do they do? What do they do? God says what? Take it to heart. I want you to go think about it. You know, you had those moments. I want you to go to your room and think about what you've done before your father gets home, right? You know what I mean? So not exactly that, but something like that. Consider your ways. Take it to heart. Think about it. They do. They do. So what's next? Look at verse 12. Now, in the ESV, there's a word that starts off there. It says, then. Do you have that? There you go. Then. So that comes after what came before. There's a then there. So hang on to that. Then. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai, there he is, the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people, what? What do you have there? There you go. Feared the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Did God change the circumstances around them? Doesn't say that, does it? He merely asked him a question, are you going to obey me or not? No matter what it looks like right now, are you going to obey me or not? And the people said, yes, we will. Yes, we will. They feared the Lord. They obeyed him. So then there's another then. We got the first then in verse 14. Then Zerubbabel and Joshua. Now we got another one. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, verse 13, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. What's the Lord's message? Four words you really want to hear. What are they? I am with you. There you go. It may look crazy all around you, but you've got to trust me. I am with you. Hang on to that, because that's going to make all the difference. All right? Here we go. Let's keep reading real quick. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. Yeah! Revival. It's a revival kind of, right? It looks like a revival. Everyone filled with the Spirit to do the work of God. This is a big moment. Let's see. I don't want to get into that just yet. Okay. Let's just move on, and then I want to get into something after this. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's do this one. Okay. I am with you. The people feared. The people obeyed. And they got to work. That sounds good, right? That sounds good. It's going to get better. It's going to get easier. Right? Well, let's keep reading. Here we go. In the seventh month, Haggai, chapter 2, verse 1. In the seventh month, so September, seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? You remember last week when they laid the foundation and the old men were crying and the young men were cheering? Remember that? Well, he's speaking to those who know what they lost, what came before. You see this now, is it not as nothing in your eyes? Wait a minute. Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet. Uh-oh. Yet now. Be strong. O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord, be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. Does that sound familiar? Some of that phrasing? Has God said that maybe at another time of great trial? Has God maybe said that another time when He's asked His people to do something great and mighty that was opposed by everyone around them? Be strong. Anybody is, hey, ding, 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 you get a free book. There you go. Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Let's do it. Flip back. Genesis, whoa. Genesis, hey, there's the walls of Jericho right there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Man, oh man, it's pouring down. Okay, everybody there? Joshua chapter 1. Somebody pick up, let's see. There we go. So he's talking to Joshua. Somebody pick up in verse 5. Read it. Read it loud so we can hear over the rain. Yeah, just keep going. Yep. Okay, we got some similarities in there. We start off with the big one. I am with you. There's the first one. We got another one. Be strong. And he says it multiple times. He does so also in Haggai. Be strong. God gives them the attitude of the heart that they're going to need to succeed. Haggai says, consider your ways. Take it to heart, right? And then God says there at the end, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. okay? It's Joshua. Go back and look at Haggai. You ready? Here we go. Look at verse chapter 2, verse 4 in Haggai. You flip back. You with me? Here we go. Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. We got it again. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. Okay, we're going to pick up in just a little bit with the rest of that. He said something to Joshua before they took the promised land. Major effort. Major work. Haggai. Rebuilding the temple. Major effort. Major work. What's going on in Haggai is huge. And we're going to unpack that as we go. We're going to kind of look at this tonight. What God is preparing for with the rebuilding of the second temple. Jesus. It's huge. And it can't stop because you think it's difficult. Think about what's coming. He's going to say that in a minute. I'm jumping ahead. But here's the thing. He says, be strong, be strong, be strong. I'm with you. Joshua, he says in Haggai. Why would he say that to his people? I'll tell you why. Turn over to Ezra. Flip back into the histories. Back into the histories. Any thoughts, questions? Is any of this making sense? Okay, we are going to do a little bit of reading here. Yeah, just like Joshua taking the promised land, what his people were about to do here was going to be a work that required courage, strength, and faith in the face of much opposition. So let's take a look at it. You ready? Ezra 5. Yes, sir. Ezra 5. Okay, if y'all don't mind, I'll just read. Y'all just kind of run along with me. You ready? Because we're going to kind of read a bunch. Ready? Here we go. Ezra 5:1. Now the prophet Haggai, there's a man, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God, the God of Israel, who was over them. Then Zerubbabel and the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jehozadak arose and began to rebuild the house of God that is in Jerusalem. We just saw that in Haggai, right? Okay, here we go. Keep going. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. Okay, here we go. Here's the next verse. At the same time, Tatanai, the governor of the province beyond the river, and Shethar-Boznai and their associates came to them and spoke to them thus. Who gave you a decree to build this house and finish this structure? Aha. Okay. They also asked them this. What are the names of the men who are building this building? Okay, we've got political power. We've got political power. We've got authority. We've got all these things going on now. They take it to the next level. The governor of the region. Now, Zerubbabel is a governor as well. Tatanai may be a bit above him. And then, according to records, there's someone who was above all of them over the area beyond the river, okay? But Tatanai is an authority. He is a governmental authority appointed by King of Persia. And he can stop that work if he wants to. He's got to get permission. But he can stop it. God says, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. I'm with you. They get to work. What happens? Okay? I want names. Oh my goodness.
Today
just
sounds particularly scary. I mean, just like, I know who you are.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
remember.
That's right.
Where you live.
That's right. I'm going to look at your social media account. I'm going to know your name. I want to know where you live. I want to know who the people are who are doing this work. That's scary. Okay? That's pretty scary. Be strong. Be strong. Okay? What happens? Let's keep going. I want names. What happens though? Look at the next verse. But the eye of their God was on the elders of the Jews, and they did not stop until the report should reach Darius and an answer should be returned by letter concerning it. Ah, they had the opportunity to do what they did before, right? They didn't. They didn't. So how did they respond? It's actually recorded. It's really great. Keep reading. Here we go. Next verse, verse 6. This is a copy of the letter that Tatnai, the governor of the province beyond the river, and Shethar-Boznai and his associates, the governors who were with him in the province beyond the river, sent to Darius the king. They sent him a report in which was written as follows. Quote. That's fascinating. So here it is. To Darius the king, all peace. Be it known to the king that we went to the province of Judah, to the house of the great God. Interesting that he would call him that, right? It is being built with huge stones and timbers laid in the walls. This work goes on diligently and prospers in their hands. Then we asked those elders and spoke to them thus, who gave you a decree to build this house and to finish this structure? We also asked them their names, you know, for your information, so that we might write down the names of their leaders. And this was their reply to us. Listen to this. Consider your ways, right? But listen to this. Where are we at? We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth. And we are rebuilding the house that was built many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and finished. But because our fathers had angered the God of heaven, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried away the people to Babylonia. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, Cyrus the king made a decree that this house of God should be rebuilt. And the gold and the silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple that was in Jerusalem and brought into the temple of Babylon, these Cyrus the king took out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered to one whose name was Sheshbazzar. We talked about him a minute ago. Whom he had made governor. And when he said to him, take these vessels, go out and put them in the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be rebuilt on its site. Then this Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundations of the house of God that is in Jerusalem. And from that time until now, it has been building, and it is not yet finished. Therefore, if it seems good to the king, let search be made in the royal archives there in Babylon to see whether a decree was issued by Cyrus the king for the rebuilding of this house of God in Jerusalem, and let the king send us his pleasure in this matter. All right? What are you thinking? How are you feeling if you're them right now? You feeling good? You feeling... What do you think? Now you got to wait. What's the king going to say? This is not Cyrus. It's a whole different guy. New administration, right? Happily, in Persian law, what a previous king states can't be rescinded by a lighter. Okay? And I guess the people knew that. But who knows what he's going to do? Right? Did the people stop? Did they stop work while they waited? What does it say? Be strong. Be strong. I'm with you. Right? Interesting. Now here, you read the book of Daniel. You know who's active in the court of Darius? Cyrus, Darius, Daniel. Daniel. God is at work in the lives of these leaders already. There's something fascinating to see how all of these things are working together. Okay? Daniel in the lion's den, right? There's a little disagreement. We won't get into Daniel. There's a little disagreement as to whether he's talking about Cyrus or Darius, but he calls him Darius, right? Daniel gets trapped by the people, and a rule was passed. It can't be rescinded. Daniel gets what? Thrown to the lion's den. Do you remember what Darius did all night long while Daniel was in the lion's den? What did he do? Do you remember? He didn't sleep. He prayed all night for who?
For Daniel.
Mm-hmm. When he came to the lion's den and they opened the door, what did he shout down in there? What did he shout to Daniel? Do you remember?
Something about your God. Show us your God. Show me your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Pray that the Lord your God has protected you tonight. Has the Lord protected you this night? He did. You know what Darius did? Either Cyrus, Darius, don't know. What did Darius do after Daniel was lifted up out of that pit? He made a decree. Do you remember any of that?
Those who accused Daniel falsely going to the pit with their families and their little ones, and they all were eaten by the lions.
Right.
As soon as they came to come in.
That's right. But then Darius also made a decree to the people of the land to what? Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Yes, correct. That's correct. God was at work in a pagan king. God was at work in a pagan king for the sake of his people. Amazing. Amazing. So the people trusted in God to do what only God could do. And everything around them said the opposite. People were wanting their names so they could do them harm. But they trusted God. Okay? Ooh, let's keep going. How's it work out? How's it work out? Yep.
It's important to know that the one behind this was not people, but Satan. And Satan went to stop the building of the temple because that's the dwelling place. When they build the temple, when they build the Kadosh and the Kadosh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies and the holy place, then they knew that the presence of the Lord would be spent on the Kaporet seat, on the mercy seat, and would stay in Jerusalem and be with them. That's what it represents. You know, Haggai, chapter 2, verse 5 says, and the Spirit of the Lord dwelt with them in the midst of them. Daniel reports in chapter 10 of the book something very interesting that supports the Satan count in government. And it says, if I can read it.
Yeah.
It says, Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. It says, then he said to me, and this is the angel talking to me, do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this, yet again, consider your ways, understand and seek the Lord.
Yeah.
On humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words, the prayer of Daniel. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, was with them and with me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, my kinsman, the Lord of the Sword, the host of the Lord's army, said, one of the chief princesses came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia.
Right.
So this angel was fighting against the king of Persia
mm-hmm.
21 days.
Mm-hmm.
He could not overcome the king of Persia. Because it's not the king of Persia who was fighting.
Right.
But it was not Satan behind the king of Persia.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then this angel had to call Michael, captain. And Michael, the angel, came and defeated Satan. Then he got freed up and went to the devil.
Right.
Something is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Satan knows what happens when the temple is rebuilt.
That's right.
Satan knows when Jesus is coming back. Therefore, he increases wickedness on this side of the end.
Sure. Well, as usual, you're getting ahead of me because next week we're going to actually look at that. But it's going to be in Zechariah. But, yeah, that's exactly right. He's surely at work here, and he'll be at work personally to accuse and demoralize the people so they'll just quit. He's real good at that, right? He's real good at that. Okay, we'll look at that next week. So, very, very good. So here we go. Here are the people. Verse chapter 6. Then Darius the king made a decree. Made a decree. And search was made in Babylonia, in the house of the archives, where the documents were stored. In Ecbatana, the citadel, that is, the province of Media, a scroll was found on which this was written. This is fascinating. It's preserved for us here. A record. In the first year of Cyrus the king, Cyrus the king issued a decree concerning the house of God in Jerusalem, let the house be rebuilt, the place where sacrifices were offered, and let its foundations be retained. Its height shall be 60 cubits, its breadth 60 cubits, with three layers of great stones and one layer of timber. Let the cost be paid from the royal treasury, and also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that is in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, be restored and brought back to the temple that is in Jerusalem. Each in its place, you shall put them in the house of God. That's the record. That's the decree. Now, therefore, Tatnai, governor of the province beyond the river, Shetharboznai, and your associates, the governors who are in the province beyond the river, keep away. Woo! Keep away. Let the work on this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews, Zerubbabel, and the elders of the Jews, Joshua, rebuild this house of God on its site. Moreover, I make a decree regarding what you shall do for these elders of the Jews who are rebuilding this house of God. The cost is to be paid to these men in full without delay from the royal revenue, the tribute of the province from beyond the river. You're going to pay for it. Wow! Keep going. And whatever is needed, bulls, rams, sheep, burnt offerings to the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, or oil, as the priests at the Jerusalem require, let that be given to them day by day without fail, that they may offer pleasing sacrifices to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. Wow. He knows God's character as he knows Daniel's. There's something really cool that we can't explore, but there's something really great there. Okay? Let's keep going. We pray for the king and his sons. Also, I make a decree that if anyone alters this edict, a beam shall be pulled out of his house and he shall be impaled on it, and his house shall be made to a latrine. Wow. Okay. All right. May the God who has caused his name to dwell there overthrow any king or people who shall put out a hand to alter this or to destroy this house of God that is in Jerusalem. Darius, I, Darius, make a decree. Let it be done with all diligence. Keep going. Then, according to the word sent by Darius the king, Tatnai, the governor of the province beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai, the associates did with all diligence what Darius the king had ordered. And the elders of the Jews built and prospered through the prophesying of, there he is, Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, son of Iddo. They finished the building by the decree of the house of God of Israel, by Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes. So it was finished much later. Finished much later. King of Persia, and this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. It was final touch-up work that was done under Artaxerxes, and you can read about that later with Nehemiah. But they had a structure that they used under Darius. Right here. Ding, ding, ding. Right around, right around 516. Okay? Right around 516. But we hadn't read that yet. Let's keep going. On the 14th day, the first month, you're there in verse 19. The returned exiles kept the Passover, for the priests of the Levites had purified themselves together. All of them were clean. So they slaughtered the Passover lamb, and all of the returned exiles, for the fellow priests and for themselves. It was eaten by the people of Israel who had returned from exile, and also by everyone who had joined them and separated himself from the uncleanness of the peoples of the land to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria to them, so that he aided them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Okay. Yeah. Let's wrap up with this, and I want to hear your thoughts. You keep reading who's after Ezra. Nehemiah. Right? You know his story? Does it get easier? They got decrees so you could do it, but the people of the land said what? I don't care. I'm going to show up in the dark and you won't know I'm there until you see the bodies. I'm going to kill you. Dang it, easier. I am with you. Be strong. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. I am with you. So what did Nehemiah and the people do? They built a wall with what? A trowel in one hand and what in the other? Yep. They were ready. They were ready. They were ready. Okay. There we go. I want you to flip back to Haggai real quick. Flip back to Haggai. Sorry, we're going all over the place, but you're going to know how to get to Haggai before this is all done. Haggai, chapter 2. Haggai, chapter 2. Let's do it again, but I'm going to pick up the last little verse of that section. You ready? Verse 4. Read with me. Haggai, chapter 2, verse 4. Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, here it is, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. Same thing he said to Joshua. Same thing he's saying in Haggai's day. This is a major work, and it's something. Yes, sir?
516 B.C., roughly.
Yes, sir. Rebuilding the temple. Yes, sir.
Same, we're at the same spot in Haggai's room over there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. That's it. That's it. Right on. Interesting enough, Ezra doesn't show up to right here. So he's writing about things that happened before he gets here. So this is going to be Ezra Nehemiah under Artaxerxes, just so you know. So when you pick up in Ezra chapter 7 and you go, wait a minute, he's just showing up. Yep. So he's writing a history up until the time he shows up. And then it's a diary, a journal. Okay. There you go. My spirit, there you go, remains in your midst. Fear not. All right. Question. John chapter 16, verse 30. Jesus said something. Now, I want you to make sure I'm quoting this right. Here we go. Ready? In this world, you won't have any trouble at all. But fear not, I have overcome the world. Isn't that what he said? Take heart, I have overcome the world, because in this world you will. You will. You will. Yep. 1630. In this world, you will. It's not? You sure? Ooh, maybe I wrote it down wrong. Y'all know that verse.
It's
33. In this world you will have trouble. 1633. Okay. I had a zero. I meant to put a three. John 16:33. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. I'm with you. I am with you. It's still there. Still there. Still true for us today. Haggai is very much a book for today. And I got to do it. Because it's God's character that is on display here. I want to read Isaiah, let's see, 41. Let's see, where am I? And then Isaiah 41:10. Yeah, let's just do it. We're going all over the Bible. Let's do it. Isaiah 41:10. This is God talking to his people. This is going to be much earlier. But his character doesn't change. Read it. Isaiah 41:10. Read it loud.
Do not fear.
Yeah, it's his character. That was in a time of great trial and hardship. And the people had to trust him. People had to trust God. He saved them from the Assyrians under Hezekiah's reign, right? Okay. Does it matter as a church body that God is with us? I've heard some people complain about their own church. It said, if the Spirit of God left this building, nobody'd even know it. Have you heard somebody say that kind of a thing? Okay. We don't have that here. Does the presence of God among his people make a difference? If it does, how?
Well, in that verse in John 16:33,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then he comes in and says, because you're going to have tribulation. So I felt like that was apropos that he talked about
tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you're getting ahead of me, too.
Sorry. Well, you asked.
I did.
About is it important that we, you know, that we have his presence? And to me, I was just thinking that that went along with this about the peace.
It does. All right. I'd like you to read something else in Haggai chapter 2. Go back to Haggai chapter 2. Right after what we just read, there, verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts. Go ahead and read that out.
For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and also the dry land.
Keep going.
And I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord.
Keep going.
The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord, and in this place I shall give peace.
Aha! Ding, ding, ding! Okay. It matters. Because God is always at work. God is always at work at something greater than we can usually even guess at. The people of Haggai's day heard this prophecy and would have looked forward to God shaking things up. But we as Christians can look back and see what God did through Christ as he shook everything up through the cross. As he instituted a new covenant, as the blood of Christ covered our sins, as the Holy Spirit of God fell on his people. They couldn't have guessed at that. But there was purpose in their work that was great. There is purpose in your work that is great. So no matter what is going on, in this world, there's a lot going on, right? Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. I'm with you. In your family, in your work, in your church, in your ministry. Be strong. God's working towards something that you may not even be alive to see. Because these people were looking forward to, and they didn't know it, a time when what? The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. Now the people were looking at the building and were saying, we remember Solomon's temple. We remember that. We remember giant bronze pillars that were so big we named them, right? It was glorious. And God is saying, that's not what I'm looking at. The glory of God would be when his son stepped into the courtyard and taught the people, when God visited his people. The glory, the latter glory, will be greater than the former. And in this place, I will bring peace. That's Jesus, the Prince of Peace. God is looking forward to this that the people might not even known about, but he's saying, don't stop because it is opposed. Of course it is opposed. But it will be done because I'm with you. So be strong. So no matter what the times look like, no matter what the days look like, it's easy to say, it's hard to live. Be strong. God is with you. Fear not. Okay? That's Haggai's message right here in 1 and 2, and I think it's really appropriate today, right? It's much needed today, but powerful word. Okay, thoughts?
Okay, I have, if this is okay, I received an email from Jeff today that said that with a prayer that Ann Graham
watched.
Did you see that?
I did. I was read to me. I didn't read it myself, but it read to me. Yes, ma'am. You want to read it?
Yes.
Please.
Creator of the universe, ruler of all, Lord of of the nations. Are you not the judge of all the earth?
Mm.
If my heart is broken, shattered over what's taking place in Afghanistan, what must your great heart feel?
Mm.
So I come to you and plead your mercy for your people who are now hiding in basements, caves, any home they can find, knowing that demonic forces will not stop until your people are found and slaughtered.
Mm.
So I pray for your people, followers of Jesus, to be supernaturally protected and delivered.
Mm.
Send your angel armies to surround your people as you did for Elijah. 2 Kings 6. Blind the enemy so they cannot locate your people in hiding. Didn't you teach us yourself that when we pray, we are afraid that we would be delivered from evil?
Mm.
Matthew 6. So deliver your people by any means, please. But if you do not, and if you allow your people to be slaughtered, then I pray that you would give dying grace to each and every one of them, men, women, children.
Mm.
Fill them with your supernatural peace. Give them a vision of heaven open for them, as you did for Stephen in Acts 7. Open their eyes to see you, O Lord, standing at the right hand of the Father, waiting to welcome them home and give them a martyr's crown. And then I pray, yes I do, for the fullness of your wrath to fall on the evil perpetrators, whether they are Kabul or Tehran or Washington, D.C. Holy God, avenge your people. I know you hear this prayer. Now I want to see how you will answer.
Hmm.
Even so, come Lord Jesus. Surely it's time for you to be glorified in all the earth. For the sake of your great name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
I thought that was...
Right on.
Absolutely. Hmm. Any closing thoughts? Anything? Okay. We'll pick back up next week. We'll even check out our brother Zechariah. And he has some very powerful things to say to encourage God's people. Yeah, it'll be neat. I'm really enjoying going through this with y'all. This has been very encouraging to me. So thank you for letting me be here. Well, let me close this up with a word of prayer, and then we'll go. Blessed Father, thank you so much for this group. I pray, Lord God, that your great blessing would be on them and on their families. Watch over them during the week. Keep them in your care. And I agree with the prayer that Ann Graham Lotz lifted up. And I pray, Lord God, that you would work in mighty ways. And all these things, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified. And help us, Lord, to think on your word and to go out into the world and be strong because you are with us through Christ our Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.